Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, folks. Here we are for episode number 3 of Restore the Roar Live. I am Sky Dickinson coming to you from the Restore the Roar studios in Land Park, Sacramento, not far from our beloved C.K. McClatchy High School, where so many amazing things have been going down in the world of athletics over the last year or two, over the last decades, I should say. But I've been involved for the last little over the last year. And today we're going to have Coach Jeff Oda, from the longtime women's basketball coach, former CKM legend of the hardwood himself. We're also going to welcome Coach Corey Houle later on. She's the women's varsity volleyball coach, a very successful and exciting team there. So we got a stacked lineup here, folks. Thanks for joining us. Sit back and relax. Here we go. That there is the official Restore the Roar theme song, and that's by Chris Pilar, class of 96, buddy of mine from back in the day. I am also class of 96 at McClatchy High School. My name is Sky Dickinson. As I said up top, we got Jeff Oda and Corey Houle coming on today. So without no further ado, I'd like to first give credit to our sponsor, Simply Mobile, which is located at 4411 Freeport Boulevard there, right on the southeast corner of Land Park. And if any time you need any phone service, phone repair, phone accessories, or you're just looking to simplify, save a lot of money, and streamline your monthly plan, you just walk right into Simply Mobile there at 4411 Freeport Boulevard and tell them Restore the Roar sent you. You will be very well taken care of. They are a great company, and we're glad to have them involved now going on, almost a full year. So they make a monthly donation to McClatchy Athletics, and we reward them by sending everybody their way who needs any type of phone service. That's Simply Mobile, 916-456-7478. All right, so it almost seems a little bit too quiet. Let me see what's going on here with my guest. Jeff Oda, that's a name that...
how you doing, Sky?
There he is. Excellent. This is a name that rings a lot of bells and opens a lot of doors in the McClatchy community. This man put in some serious work on the hardwood in the late 70s. And has his name up on the wall of record holders to prove it. He took over for Coach Harvey Tahara as the head coach of the women's basketball team some years ago. And I remember speaking to him last summer. He said, boy, things sure do change when you take one seat to the left and sitting on that head coaching spot instead of the assistant coaching spot. So I'm going to let him talk a little bit now. Jeff, welcome to the show. Great to have you here, buddy.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so take us back to your playing days. I imagine the gym looked pretty much the same. It's got a new coat of paint. It's got the sparkling hardwood floor. If you're an alumni or just a supporter of McClatchy and you haven't been to this gym in a while, check it out. We got games coming up in volleyball and basketball this year. So take us back to the 70s, man. Is the gym pretty much look the same? What's the environment on campus, and what did those teams look like? What did the basketball teams look like?
It's the game has changed drastically when I played. I mean, the game was played a lot slower. Right now, the speed of today's game is much faster, much more athletic, jump higher, stronger, faster. Everything changed. Back in the day, you know, there was no three-pointers. It was strictly twos.
Whoa.
They changed the rule after I graduated. There was no three-point shots back when I was playing.
Dang.
Back in the days.
Okay.
So a lot more fouls back in the day, a lot more free throws. I shot a lot of free throws, drawing fouls inside. But, yeah, the game was much more compact because it wasn't wide open like it is today. That's the big change.
Yeah. And you can tell, by the way, the style of basketball that these women's varsity teams play, just like you said. It's extremely
wide open.
Yeah, go ahead.
They try to open up gaps and try to drive through those gaps and try to kick out for three-pointers. That's about how the game is, spacing the floor and making the reads and making the correct passes and knocking down those shots.
There you go. And I've seen it up close and personal, both in the high stakes games there on the sidelines at Janice and Harvey Tahara Court, and also in the practices that these ladies put in with coach, and they're focused on so many specifics of the game, down to the footwork of how you set yourself on the baseline before you hit a three. Now, no 3-point line, but the concept of sharpshooting being of utmost importance was obviously the same, and that's the thing that that Coach Odo is known for, as being one heck of a shooter. So let me just ask you this as a general question. What makes a great shooter?
Oh, man. First, you got to get the form. Then after that, repeat, repeat, repeat. I mean, thousands of shots. I mean, nowadays, I don't know if people practice in the driveway, but that's where I honed my skills, my parents' driveway.
There you go.
In the grass, killing the grass on the side, because the driveway wasn't wide enough to take my shots, and so I killed a lot of grass out there, shot a lot on the concrete floors. Because I don't think a lot of people practice in the streets anymore. I mean, back in the day.
You're so right. Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, if you see kids playing basketball these days, it seems odd, but yeah, back in the day it was everything. I'm a little bit younger than you, but yeah, we were doing it the exact same way.
Outside. Yeah, I mean, most people is indoors. They get training indoors. They hire trainers. Mm-hmm. They go to training sessions and do all these cone works and, you know, much more than we had. Much more than we had when I was playing. I mean, there's so many good trainers out there that you know, people can just go to any of them and, you know, hone their skills that way too. I mean, that's how most of them are done right now, is going to all these trainers and, you know, that's how it's done, it seems like now.
Gotcha. Yeah, and on that note, there's year-round basketball being played. The majority of your team is on some type of AAU squad, and some of them, you know, Imani Felix is as far away as Washington, D.C. right now. So you got your team in the offseason. They continue working their craft, and they're pretty much spread out all over the nation this summer, huh?
Sure, yeah. I think Samaya is out there in Washington. Washington, D.C., we have a couple of people, Kayla and Kamania Griffin is in Las Vegas. So I know they finished up the first tournament. They're in the middle of their second tournament right now. And a couple of the freshmen, I know they are away in the AAU tournament. So, yeah, the gamut, they're all over the across the country playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk specifics about this impressive, impressive team that you and a handful of other coaches have been able to put together. Looking at the roster from last year, it was my first year covering this team. It's inspiring, man. They play inspiring basketball. Not every game was a runaway, but that definitely happened. You'd look up at the scoreboard and you'd see, you know, 75 to 25 late in the game. And then there was the hard-fought battles that took, you know, every single minute of focus. Just a quick look at the roster. You graduated three seniors, and these are three big parts of this team. That's going to be Nia Lowry, who's heading up to play basketball for the Huskies in Washington, Cameron Hall, who's going to play basketball at West Point, and Jenna Waukee, who's going to play basketball in the University of Hilo in Hawaii. Boy, talk about spread out, man. That could not be more geographically spread out. So how do you replace those three players? Is that going to take
It's tough.
Special work, or is it? I imagine it's already been in the works to how to replace them. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a few talks with one of our freshmen who's going to have to step up, and I mean, in fact, the whole team is going to have to grab a little bit and improve their game a bit and try to fill the shoes of those three. Expect big things from Saray White, Samaya, and hopefully Kayla Vermeil, who did not play last year because of an injury. If she's healthy this year, watch out, because she's a D1 player if she's healthy. So I'm looking forward to watching her play and see if she can develop and be healthy all this year.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can't wait to see. So Kayla looks like she is going to join Samaya and Jaden as your three seniors this year. Just the three seniors again. Do I have that right?
Yeah, just three seniors. Samaya, Kayla, and Jaden Wallace. Yes. Jaden Wallace is our guard. She's probably one of our best one-on-one defenders. I mean, if there's a guard that's tough and we have to pay attention to, we usually put Jaden on that girl, and she's the one. She's small but mighty. She's just a a bulldog when it comes to defense. She looks like a sweet girl on the outside, but she has a mean streak on the court. You know, she's our bulldog. That's who we put on the toughest offensive player on the other opposing teams.
Gotcha. And then I've seen a little bit of Mia in the workouts this week. Left-handed shooter. Reminds me of De'Aaron Fox a little bit. And then I'm envisioning her in the backcourt with Imani. That man, that's going to be a handful, huh?
Yes. And then a couple of our freshmen hopefully step up. You know, Kyla Chappelle, Kylie Dallasay, and Salai New. They were freshmen last year, too. So hopefully, you know, they're going to improve their games and help fill the shoes up of the seniors that we lost last year. So, you know, I expect big things from them, those three also.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, let's take a walk through last year's season. We began home game at Whitney in the final days of November, just so people can get an idea. The regular season begins right around Thanksgiving and runs through the late January, late February, sometimes depending on the postseason run. Rattled off a couple victories and then came across Folsom at the Dorothy Speck tournament and lost a tough, tough 2-point game. You remember that one at all? Can you talk a bit about that?
I do remember that one. No one could put it in the hole. I mean, I think it was a low-scoring game. I don't know if it was in the high 20s or low 30s. But
41-39.
What's that?
41-39.
Oh, God, I didn't even know we scored even that much. I thought it was in the 30s. But, that game was tough. I mean, it was a defensive struggle, a defensive battle at its best because every possession meant so much, and every defensive possession meant so much, and then I think we just came up short. But it was a well-fought game. I remember that clearly because I think that was our first loss of the season was to Folsom.
Correct. Yeah, and then
really well. I know the coach. I know the Folsom coach from our younger days when my son used to play. Because he has a son, I have a son, and we used to battle each other. His AAU team was a Folsom Force, and ours was the Sacramento Believers. And the boys, our sons, used to battle each other. He used to coach one side, used to coach the other. And that was sure fun. And that's how I know the Folsom coach over there. So we've known each other for such a long time.
Gotcha. Very, very cool. Okay, so rolling into the calendar year of 2019, you guys were had only lost those two, really piling up the victories, you know, something like 18-2 at the turn of the year. Took care of Kennedy, the rival at home, 62-35. And then let's go ahead and fast forward to the very end. I was on hand on the sidelines there for those playoff games, and man, that is a fun environment. I was standing right next to legendary coach Harvey Tahara, whom I mentioned that you took over for, just soaking it all in, taking pictures, getting up close, getting to see the referees, you know, making these calls, these spot on calls of such importance, and so much energy in the building. I kind of felt like an important guy, man. Felt like a VIP because I remember going to one of the games and I got there a little late. I was dropping off my daughter and I only got there like 5 minutes before tip. There's still like 100 people waiting outside, 100 people waiting to get in. And I got to go to the front of the line there and make my way in. And I think they had to actually turn away some people. So yeah, those environments are just amazing. A lot of fun. So you took care of, took care of Enoch, took care of Lincoln, took care of St. Yeah. Mary's, took care of San Ramon Valley. And then
we didn't
on the evening,
of St. Mary's. We lost to St.
What's that?
Mary's.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. St. Mary's got us. But so a huge game, perhaps the most memorable game of the year. You guys go into Sac High on a Friday night, the last night in February, and it did not go well from the beginning. It did not look good. And matter of fact, even going into the fourth quarter, it just didn't seem plausible that CKM could pull this off until they outscored Sac 25-6 in the fourth quarter in their own building. Bring us back to that one, man. What was that like?
Well, yeah, that was – it didn't look at halftime. We just say we're not out of it. We just got to refocus, play hard, continue to play hard, continue what we're trying to do because they still had a hard time scoring. They were beating us on the boards. They were still missing shots. So we knew we were still in it because they were just – we just had to keep them off the boards. And We stuck to our man. We tried pressing a little bit to change momentum, but they just sliced through our 2-2-1 press. So we went back to straight man and start chipping away. They continued to miss. We got some points in our buckets, and I kept on steamrolling them. And they kept on building and building. We look up. We caught it. We cut it to 7-6-5, and it's going down to 3. And we say, we're in it. Yeah, we're in this game. And
yeah.
It was a fun game. It was just a fun game to coach, fun game to watch. I'm sure. In fact, one of my friends, they told me she left. She left the fourth quarter. She missed the entire fourth quarter. She thought we lost. So I gave her a hard time about that. But anyways, yeah, she missed a great game. But anyways, yeah, it was a fun game, and that was our rival because we never played. Sakai's not in our league anymore. Sorry to say.
Right.
So that was the only time we played them this year. Because usually we face them at least twice during the season.
Gotcha.
But,
yeah.
And, this is the
and I don't blame your friend too much, man. It did not look good. And if someone's paying for a babysitter I could see it taking off a little early, but boy,
but
missed history.
I need to make one clarification. Small
Please
major.
Do.
I didn't take over directly from Harvey. We forgot Jessica Kunisaki. I gotta put props in for her. She took over. Then when she left the Sac State, then I stepped in. I was Jessica's assistant. So that was one. Sorry about that. Just one.
No, don't be. I'm sorry. And I would never, ever overlook Jessica Kunisaki. Quite the opposite. We've profiled her. I got mixed up in the order there. Yeah, okay. So it was Tahara, Kunisaki, then you.
Yes.
And now you what would your official position be now? Like the co-head coach or?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to still do coach, but I'll probably be doing more of the coaching in games because we're going to switch our roles again. So I'll probably be doing more of the game coaching this year.
Uh-huh.
So a little bit different from last year. We'll see how it works out. I've been looking forward to it.
Is there a cap on how many players you can have on your roster?
No. You can't have – you're not going to have 20 people on the roster, but I think a good number is 12. It's perfect. Perfect
right.
number. If no one gets injured, 12 is a perfect number because all our practices, you can go 3-on-3, 4-on-4, 5-on-5 with one cell on each side. So it just all the drills just work perfectly with 12. Sometimes
gotcha.
It works out that way. Sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, I've had 17 one year.
Wow.
And I didn't even have a uniform for that guy. That was when I was coaching the boys. I had 17. I couldn't cut this one person because he worked hard. So I didn't have enough uniforms. Funny story. He had a different uniform. So any time I put him in, it was a technical foul. So I put him in and I say, ref, I'm going to put this, give him my technical now. And I warned the ref, gives me my technical, but I never did on a close game.
Sure.
So when I got the technical, we're up by quite a few margins. So it didn't really hurt us too bad. But I just loved the kid so much, I couldn't cut him. So I didn't have enough uniforms. I only had 16 uniforms, but I kept 17 because I loved this guy so much.
That's a great story. And, it shows you got a heart as a coach, man. I think you guys are doing a wonderful job with this squad. I'm just arriving here in the last couple of years. This thing's been moving like a well-oiled machine for quite some time, and I'm feel very lucky to be able to profile it and get a lot more information out to the masses here, man. Here's one tidbit of info that some people might be interested in. What if, there's a young player, junior high age right now, listening to this podcast, and they're interested in trying out for this very competitive elite squad. What's the timing of all that?
Trouts, well, we've been working out now. I've tried to communicate with the people I know that's coming in. But trials don't really start till November. We do conditioning late October. Where we can't touch a ball because against CIF rules, we can't touch a ball for like 3 weeks. So at that time, we just train and without using a ball. And that's when the girls get in condition. We do a little bit of weight training, footwork, and then trials start early November for a
you
few
hear...
days.
Okay.
We try to get our team. And
to
get that, the season just flies by.
Oh, it sure does. It sure does. Once school gets started, a couple blinks of an eye and we're in June. You hear that phrase, can't touch the ball in just about every sport, baseball, football. They have this period where you can only do the conditioning, like you just said. That's, I guess, just meant to level the playing field, reduce injuries. What do you think's the ultimate reasoning behind that?
I guess, I don't know, just give everybody a break. I know everybody plays, you know, especially now everything's specialized.
Yeah.
You know, less, fewer and fewer, you know, players, students play multiple sports. So maybe, yeah, maybe just to give them a break, you know, because I know football season can't use a football, you know, after a
right.
while. Cause, and, yeah, every sport has that. I don't know the exact reasoning for that, but, you know, I guess it's good to get the ball out of their hands and do something different. And we try
yeah.
to do things different. We try to make up games that we don't use a basketball, and, you know, girls kind of have fun with it. We play, you know, soccer with their hands, using a rolled-up T-shirt wrapped in tape, because technically we can't use the ball, you know. So
right.
We just kind of, you know, think of something to play with without using the ball. But they still get
That's
the footwork in by pivoting and, you know, throwing and, you know, passing. But, yeah, but the girls kind of have fun with it because it's not basketball per se. It's you know, soccer ball
yeah.
in your hand.
Like, theoretically, could you use a football at basketball practice and be like, well, we're not touching a basketball?
Football. That's why we use a rolled up T-shirt.
Yeah.
Any balls? No balls.
Gotcha. I understand. All right, Coach. Anything else you would like to say before we thank you very much and send you on your way?
I think you covered it. I'm just looking forward to the season. Looking forward to seeing the girls back from all their AU tournaments and getting back to practice. And you know, looking forward to the fall league. So we'll have a fall league this year that we're going to play in, and then it's going to just fly by from there.
Yeah, it most certainly does. All right, Coach. Well, thanks for everything, man. It's been fun getting to know you. It's been awesome getting to know your squad, and here's to another great season.
Thank you very much, Scott. Have a good day.
You bet. All right, Coach.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
This was Coach Jeff Oda. Very lucky to have him in the fold here at McClatchy. Didn't even get the chance to talk about his amazing level of physical fitness. Gosh, I can't believe we didn't get to that. But he'll be back on again soon. We're hitting the break right here, about the 22-minute mark on Restore the Roar Live, brought to you by Simply Mobile on Freeport Boulevard. I'm Sky Dickinson. We will be back right after this very short 30-second break with women's volleyball varsity head coach Corey Hula. All right, folks, if you're listening to these words, you have a friend in the phone business, and they are located at 4411 Freeport Boulevard, Simply Mobile. Stop in there for any of your phone needs. Tell them Restore the Roar sent you, and good things will come from there. Okay, I believe at this point now we are joined by women's varsity head coach Corey Hule. I hope I pronounced your last name right. I realize I've never said that out loud before.
You got it, Sky. That was perfect. Yeah, yeah. Normally,
Excellent.
It doesn't come out like that, so good job.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks for coming on. You had mentioned that you're not feeling necessarily in the peak of physical condition, battling a little summer cold here, but you sound great, and thank you very much
for taking
some time. Okay, so let's talk about your
team.
You're quite welcome. You may have already noticed there's a slight delay, like a 0.6-second delay between my voice and yours. But that happens everywhere, even on ESPN, you know, so that's just how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I've had the pleasure of getting to know your squad, as has my daughter. We'll talk about that later. It didn't take long to realize that you are playing in a highly competitive Metro League. You went 8-4 last year in the league, 11-13 overall. So if you can, talk a little bit about last season and in a nutshell.
Yeah, last season we definitely struggled a little bit more than my first year on at McClatchy 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we had two really powerful captains and seniors Kate Widman and Madison Pierce, who really just, you know, dominated the court during our league play as well as non-league games. We actually had an incredible season that year and really took out some top teams in the area. So after losing, we lost, I believe, 6 or 7 seniors that year. So last year was a bit of a churn coming from, we were a really young squad. We had a freshman on the team, a few sophomores, several juniors, and only one senior. So we had a pretty young team last year. So for what we lost, I thought we did pretty well. I was very happy with our record overall. It was a bummer that we tied for second place in the league overall, but still I was really happy with how we played against some teams. The team that took first place was Monterey Trail. Well-deserved first place shot. They actually had their head coach, had their head varsity coach pass away in the middle of the season. So to go undefeated, not losing a single game. So volleyball is broken up into single game or single sets in one game overall, and they didn't lose a single set all season. So the last game against them, we almost beat them one set. It was 26-24. So it was an incredible game against them, and they won, you know, well-deserved. So I was pretty happy with it overall, but we're definitely going to be missing our senior, Julia, who we lost last year. And this year we'll have a lot of seniors, hopefully. So it's going to be an interesting year after the last 2 years.
Okay. So that was going to be one of my next questions is how long have you been at this? Because I could tell that, you know, the team has your imprint on it already. It has your fingerprint on it. I could tell. And yeah, you spoke with Monterey Trail, 36-0 in sets in Metro League play. Yikes. Wow. And, then McClatchy tied with Kennedy and Laguna Creek. Do I have that right as I'm looking at this?
Yeah, yeah. And overall, it was a three-way tie in second place. So they did it by set wins. So we actually didn't get to play in the playoffs at all because they had more set wins than we did.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think the same thing happened to men's volleyball at the end of 2018 as they missed it out in the playoffs by one set. That's brutal,
yeah.
Especially because you see these refs, and not to say this is an easy job by any means, but I've seen some refs make some calls in volleyball games, and I'm just like, wait a minute, what? And that could be the difference between making the playoffs or not. That's tough. That's rough.
Oh, definitely, definitely. It comes down to points. I mean, it's crazy how it all works with having to win the most sets out of a match. It gets very competitive, and every little point does count in volleyball, so it can come down to the wire.
So true. So true. I thought I knew about volleyball, but when I see these sports up close and personal, you know, you really, really get to know it. The libero, that's something that I think many casual volleyball fans do not know about. And when Coach Feikert, our great athletic director, Rob Feikert, when he mentioned it to me, I thought he called it the LeBaron. And I'm like, well, then we're missing a sponsorship opportunity. We need to get a hold of Chrysler.
Yeah.
And it could be the Chrysler LeBaron. But that's not it, right?
Yeah.
How is it spelled? L-E-B-A-R-O?
I believe it's L-I-B-E-R-O. So,
there you go.
And
yeah,
actually,
you're right.
That's like the California swag edition of the name. A lot of people in the volleyball world call it a Libro.
Oh. And what exactly
yeah,
is it?
So we,
what's that mean?
So I'm not, I don't know where the name comes from or where it originates, but basically that player is just a defensive specialist position, but with a, you know, stronger attributes where they get to go in more than the other 5 players on the court. They get to go in for both middles, where the other players only get to go in 3 rotations. The libero gets to go in all 6 rotations in the back row. So it's a special position that has special rules. They just changed the rules recently as well. In club volleyball, now you're allowed to use 2 liberos versus high school where you can have 1 libero. And now the libero is allowed to serve.
Uh-huh. Okay. So interesting. So that's something that's being tweaked regularly.
Oh, yeah. And that's the kind of the game, name of the game in volleyball. Since I've been playing volleyball, which I will not admit how long ago that was, but the rules changed so much. I mean, when my sister, I have an older sister who went on to play volleyball at Chico State and was a, played for the USA team in overseas. So she has, when she played, they've still played side out score.
Okay. Which means you need to possess the ball to score.
Yes, yes. You need to serve the ball and have possession to score, which made the games very long. So
yeah.
It's kind of a become a faster game because they've changed those rules, which I think is why they do it, to make the game a little faster, which volleyball has really became faster over the years. When I played, we call it tempo. So volleyball is like a rhythm where, you know, the pass, the set, and the hit have to be all in one tempo in order to really execute the way you'd like to run a faster offense. So the game itself has become faster, especially in the women's world. Overall, men, it's always been pretty fast, and it still is faster than women's volleyball, but women are finally kind of catching up with their speed and tempo of the game.
Interesting. That's really cool. I remember interviewing Julia Maloney. We made her the athlete of the week last year, and she, I want to say she's like 5'11", and I said, so any plans for playing in college? And she's, and she said, well, 5'11 is tall in high school, but 5'11 is really, really short in college. So things change on the next levels, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my sister's got 2 inches on me. I'm 5'10", and she's 6 foot, and that made all the difference when it came to recruiting and playing, you know, which division you could play volleyball in. And it does make a huge difference. I mean, if you're 5'10", but you have a 30 inch vertical, obviously you're going to get noticed, but, you know, height definitely does make a difference, especially in the college world.
Gotcha. All right. And, yeah, folks, the, just so everybody listening knows, this season, this is a fall sport, and the season gets started, gosh, before school starts, right? This is one of the earliest starting seasons of any sport at McClatchy, like mid-August, right?
Yeah, we actually have our first game like August 8th or August 16th. We have scrimmages that start the 8th. I think our first official contact is August 16th or 17th. So we're starting up soon. Tryouts are right around the corner.
Oh, awesome. Okay, when are the tryouts? Just so if anybody listening is interested in that.
So the tryouts are the first week of the last week of July into the first week of August. So that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday will be starting tryouts, and then practice starts that Thursday. So I'm going to look at the calendar, but yeah, tryouts start July 29th.
July 29th, folks. So, that already happened.
I'm sorry. It's August 5th. I was a week behind. It's August 5th tryout start.
Okay. Sounds
so
good.
We are,
and
right
there
around
a,
the corner.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there a max? I know you have a ton of returning players. You had mentioned just one senior graduated this past June. You got, it looks like from a quick glance, you're going to have, gosh, whoa, maybe like 8 seniors this year, 9 maybe. So,
yeah.
Wow, that's stacked. A lot of returning talent. And is there a cap on how many players can be on the team?
Not necessarily a cap, but I do like to keep we only have a certain amount of jerseys. So I guess you could say there would be a cap. We would probably cap out at maybe 15 or 16 players. I had 15 last year, and that was pretty difficult when you can only get 6 players on the court at one time. So we had a lot of players that sat the bench, and, you know, that's hard for me as a coach. So I'd like to get girls in, so I don't think we'd take more than that again.
That's funny. Jeff Oda had said the same thing. He says, well, we got 16 uniforms. He once had 17 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And some guy had to wear a different uniform. But, all right, well, won't keep you here too long. I want to thank you so much for your time, and big thanks from the bottom of my heart for just how nice and warm you guys have been to my daughter, like even during the games. You know, stopping to give her a T-shirt when we were on our way out, or it's just been really cool. Really cool. And you guys are her favorite team on campus. There are some teams competing for her affection for sure. But you guys are her number one, and I can't thank you enough for that. I'll tell you a funny little quick story. She is just obviously learning the specifics of volleyball as well, and she didn't quite have the libero all figured out either. And so there was one home game where McClatchy's in red, and I think our libero was in white. Well, the team we were playing, their libero was actually in red. So my daughter tugs at my arm 1 minute, and she's all worried and nervous. She's like, "Dad!" She points to the other team's libero in red, and she's like, "Dad, one of the Lions got trapped on the other side of the net." And
oh my gosh.
Yeah, she was legitimately concerned. So she had fun making you guys that card of support and encouragement. And I'm sure she's going to do that again this year. And we really look forward to attending the games. I can't thank you enough, Coach, for just the openness and go get them this year. I think this is going to be some big things coming out of this team, and it's a pleasure of mine to cover it.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for inviting me to be on the show. And, I mean, what you've done with Restore the Roar and this and the Facebook page and just the last, 2 years that I've been here has been incredible. So we really appreciate the support, and having your daughter around has just been a joy, and she is always welcome in our gym. So I know the girls absolutely loved having her around last season, and I'm sure they're looking forward to it this season.
Awesome. I can't thank you enough for that. This is my alma mater to boot. I mean, I was going to love doing this no matter what, but my heart is really, really into this, my alma mater. And yeah, there's big things ahead. So just glad to be a part of it. And you will be no stranger. You'll be coming on the show during the season for sure.
I would love to. Yeah, I would love to. I'm always down to talk volleyball. So anytime you and your daughter want to come learn something, you come into our gym and you're always welcome.
That sounds fantastic. Can't thank you enough.
All right. Thanks so much, Sky. I appreciate it.
All right, for sure. Talk to you soon. All right, folks.
Bye-bye.
We'll do. That was head coach Corey Houle. Yet another awesome person in the fold at C.K. McClatchy High School doing awesome things with awesome student athletes. So everything about this has been awesome. Hope you enjoyed listening to the third installment of Restore the Roar Live. Again, I'm Sky Dickinson, and this is all brought to you by Simply Mobile on Freeport. All right, folks, until next time, which won't be too long, probably about 10 days to 2 weeks, we'll be back at it. And then in a short month's time, school will be going again. All sports in the fall. All systems go. Talk to you soon.